upon the sea. A ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves enthralled. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at every man. Wind and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. What man is this? They all did say. Master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he's gonna calm the troubled seas as he did in days of old. As upon thy sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. I'm so glad he sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will when he says to them, be still. What man is this? They all did say that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. There must be something contagious behind this pulpit tonight, so I'm going to be careful what I say. If I say something, I see your faces frown, I know that I've just fit right on in here, right? And appreciate the song, gentlemen, and the work. Oh, he's the master of the sea, is he not? Man, I tell you, think about the truths behind that. And we talked a little bit about that this morning, just thinking about the sovereign eyes of God. It's amazing, isn't it, that we serve such an incredible God that is still active in our lives today, if we'll let him be. Just as active as he was on day one, he wants to be that active in our lives as well. Take your Bibles, church, if you would, tonight. Several passages of Scripture, Acts 20, 2 Corinthians 9, and Proverbs 11. Acts 20, 2 Corinthians 9, and Proverbs chapter number 11. So I was thinking about the atmosphere of our service tonight, and you'll know why here in just a little bit. I actually had this particular message planned for next Sunday night, but I decided to go ahead and move it up to tonight just because of what we'll be doing here in just a moment. And you see the boxes of Bibles we had brought out here. Brother Delmas Knight's going to talk to us about that here in just a little bit at the end of the service. But I wanted to kind of preface things tonight and to preach to you tonight on a very, very important subject, I think, for our church. Acts 20, are you there? I'm not, but I'm getting there. I can't talk and find and turn the Bible at the same time. All right, Acts chapter 20. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. Acts 20, and we're going to look at verse number 35. Now, we're going to do some responsive reading tonight, and so remember when we read together, we're just going to read one verse, and we're going to read one verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 here in just a moment, and remember to pause at the punctuation marks. You found your place? Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. Let's read together. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the amazing thing here is we have this scripture given to us. Go find your Bible. You'll never find where Jesus actually said those words in your Bible. But may I remind you that John 21, the scripture says that Jesus spoke many things that were not recorded in the books. Or in the Bible. He said if the whole world, if all the libraries of the world couldn't hold all the books that should be written about the things that Jesus said and that he did. Now, he made reference to this particular verse, but I want you to notice what he said. He says that the words of the Lord Jesus that we were to remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse number 6, we're going to read this verse together as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. All right, let's read it together. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that sounds to me like that's a verse telling us that those who sow will also reap proportionately. Those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully, and those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Keep that in mind. And let's go all the way back now to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And let's begin reading in verse number 24. We're going to read 24, 25, and 26 together. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's read it together. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, the scriptures here are very plain and very simple. Did you notice our text verse tonight, verse 25? The liberal soul shall be made fat. Folks, I can't see where something is in the air. Is anybody else eyes burning? All right. I'm wondering if there's something in the air in here or something stirred up in here. You say, look at the preacher. Bless his heart. God's broken his heart. No, I can't see. Something is burning my eyes tonight. All right. But look at verse 25. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. I want to take that verse, and I want to speak to you tonight, church, on the subject, when God wants you to be liberal. When God wants you to be liberal. You know, there's not many things the Scripture tells us to be liberal in, but we're going to look at one of them tonight. Most of the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be conservative in, that we're supposed to be separated from. But tonight, God says, there's something I want you to be a liberal in. I want you to be liberal in this area, and I want to preach to you on that subject, which incorporates the character quality of generosity. The character quality of generosity. Now, Father, would you meet with us now, the short time that we have together, and teach us, we pray, from your word, and we'll certainly give you the glory and the praise for the results of tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, generosity is defined as the quality of being willing to give. Did you notice I said being willing to give? It's liberal in sharing. It's unselfishness. That's what generosity is. Now listen very carefully. Generosity is a disposition to give. Now, by nature, we've learned this before, right? By nature, we're naturally selfish, right? By nature, we want to keep. We want to hoard. That's the reason I started a show. Didn't I start a show called The Hoarders? All right, you know what? People are naturally hoarders. They naturally want to keep things to themselves. And yet the Lord says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, generosity is a disposition. Now, it doesn't have to be provoked. Generosity doesn't have to be manufactured, but generosity does have to be cultivated. Generosity does have to be developed. Now listen now, but it's got to be done by the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never develop it yourself. If it's left to you, you know what you'll do? You'll develop selfishness. You will develop the attitude, I need more, and I need more, and I need more. By the way, preacher, look at the condition of the country. We need to keep all we can get. Because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, I know what's going to happen. The Lord's coming back. You know, people say, well, preacher, look at the condition of our country. We need to do something about it. Why? Haven't you read the Bible? It's not going to get any better, folks. It's going to get progressively worse and worse and worse. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to stop taking the stand for right. It just means that we need to understand that, listen, the Scripture already has given us the layout of the land. Now, listen very carefully. Generosity is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit's fruit of love. Now listen, love is the strongest motivating factor known to man. And what generosity is, generosity produced through godly love, doesn't have to be able to see. It doesn't have to be able to hear. It doesn't have to be able to handle anything. Listen, it's activated by love is what generosity is activated by. You see, church, generosity simply just has to have a cause. Generosity just has to have a motive. Generosity just has to have a purpose. Now listen, if that cause or purpose lines up with the will of God and the plan of God, the Holy Spirit will activate that godly love in us, which will then turn our hearts to the trait of generosity. You say, what's wrong with people who are not generous? They have a spirit problem. And normally they're not walking in the Spirit. They're not controlled by the Spirit of God because generosity is activated by the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit is love. Did not Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? How many times in Scripture over and over are we commanded to give, right? Not out of necessity, but because we love the Lord. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's take a look at some things here for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with tongues of men, Paul says, and angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Now listen, folks, he's talking about some heavy-duty Christian character traits here. He's talking about some heavy-duty things that we must possess in the Christian life. But notice what he says. But if I have not charity, does your Bible say I'm nothing? He says if I don't have the spirit of generosity, that's provoked and activated by the love of God, by the Holy Spirit working in me. He says, I can have every Christian trait I want, but if I lack charity motivated by the love of God, he said, I am absolutely nothing. Look at verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Anything wrong with feeding the poor? No, we ought to do things like that to help people. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, look at what he says again. What does your Bible say there? It profiteth me what? Nothing. Charity suffereth long, it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeking not her own. I said seeking not her own. I said, seeking not her own. It sounds to me like something is provoked by the love of God. And generosity has to be activated. And if it's, and the activation is the love of God, and charity is that love of God in action. He said, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now look at this. Charity never faileth. And everybody says, amen. But wait a minute, go to the last verse, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now those are three pretty good character traits, aren't they? Those are three pretty good character qualities. But he says, listen now, these, he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of all of these is generosity. The greatest of all the character traits is the trait of giving. Now listen carefully. Notice that are all of the Christian character traits that the apostle mentions here that can be developed, that can be possessed. Isn't it amazing that the one that he brought up to the forefront was the element of generosity, the element of giving, the element of charity he brought up? You see, church, charity is giving motivated by love, which is activated by the Holy Spirit, because charity always, listen now, has a purpose in mind. Always has a purpose in mind. Remember I told you that generosity is defined as the quality of being willing to give because it has a purpose in mind. Now, have you ever realized in your life that when you allow the love of God to motivate you, you feel more generous? Right? I'll give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Brother Knight's familiar with this. Brother Ingram, some of our other people in missionaries. You know, there's a reason missionaries go with DVD presentations. There's a reason they do that. There's a reason they set a table up out in the foyer. There's a reason they hand out prayer cards. You know why? Because they know it is a motivating factor to generosity. If people can see, if people can hear, and now listen, listen, we shouldn't have to require that, right? But missionaries know we're human beings, and by nature we're what? We're selfish. And so what happens is we need a motivating factor. But if you realize that when the love of God is in control of your life, how it motivates you to much generosity. But have you ever noticed that when you're kind of down in the dumps, how less that you have the are in the mood to give? When you're down, usually generosity's down. But when you're up, generosity's at a high level. So you know what the bottom line is? We need to stay up, right? Now, the only way that that's possible is we have to have the Holy Spirit developing this character trait. Remember several weeks ago when Dr. House was here, he made a statement that I checked out in Scripture. Remember he called me on the carpet on that? He said, how dare you, the preacher, check me out. But I did. He made a statement, and here's the statement he made. He said that God's well done in the Bible is always connected with giving. The well done's in the Bible, in every shape, form, and fashion, are always connected with giving or generosity. Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, I tell you what, go take your Bible, go to Matthew 25 for just a moment. Let's look at a couple of them right quick. Matthew chapter 25, remember, this is the story of the talents. Matthew 25, remember, had three guys, one with five talents, one with two, one with one. Remember, the one with five doubled his, the one with two doubled his. Now, both of those guys heard a well done. Look at this. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, the thing about it is, you know what this guy had to joy over? You know what this guy had to be excited over? Because he had invested his time, his efforts, his love into taking these talents and reproducing. But wait a minute, was he doing it for himself? No, because when the master came back, who did he give them back to? The master gave him five, came back, he gave him back 10. You see, that well done was surrounded by giving. And the same thing happened in each verse. I'll tell you what, scoot up to verse number 14 for a moment. For the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them. I've got this circled in my Bible. It said he didn't deliver them their goods. It said he delivered unto them his goods. You see, generosity, folks, is taking what God has given you and distributing it to others. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians 4. Okay, quickly, turn there right quick. Philippians 4. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, Paul says, ye have well done. Now, whatever's following is, Paul's very pleased with this, right? Paul said, whatever they did, it was a well done thing. Now, look at what he says. That ye did communicate with my faith. You see that word communicate there? You need to draw a line out beside your Bible and you write the word give. They gave in his affliction. They were generous toward him in his ministry. You see, church, the bottom line is simply this. Sure seems that it's pretty evident that God compliments, and by the way, God didn't just throw out compliments left and right. But when God does compliment, it seems to be always connected in Christian service around generosity, or when he doesn't, listen now, the lack thereof. Because if you'll remember the guy that had one? That guy didn't do anything. He didn't give. He didn't go out and try to multiply. He didn't do anything. So you know what? You know what Jesus, how he relayed to that guy, how he communicated to that guy? He said, thou slothful servant, wicked servant. What did he do with his talent? Took it from him and gave it to the guy that had 10. That's what he did. He took it away from him. You see, generosity and giving is so important that it was one of the important lessons that Jesus, remember, took his disciples in Mark chapter number 12, took his disciples, remember, and they went over and they sat against the wall and they watched as people walked by and gave. And they saw all of these rich people, the scripture says, and they go off and the Bible says they gave much. But here was a little widow that came and put two mites in. And Jesus said, y'all see that? You see that, guys? Yeah, so what about it? He said, she gave more than them all. Now listen, she was more generous with two mites than all the others were with all their riches. You know why? Because the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. And she gave all to him. And yet, he called attention to her generosity. The church, great people in God's eyes are generous people. A great church in God's eyes is a generous church. And Christian generosity can be calculated through a number of various sources, but usually it's almost always tied to our finances. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Now I'm going to move. I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to give you something here. I believe that one of the greatest problems of the local church across the country today is the funding for all the ministries that the church wants to operate. The funding for all the missionaries that the church would like to send and support around the world. You say, well, preacher, what's wrong? Where are the funds? Listen to me. They're bound is where they are. You say, who's binding those funds? Your adversary's binding them. You say, where are they? They're bound in the counts of believers all across America. Because the believers refuse to let it go. And the adversary has bound them into believing that they need it more than God needs it. And the adversary has bound the giving and the accounts of so many that they refuse to give to the promotion of the gospel of Christ. They refuse to give to the poor and needy. They refuse to give to the ministries that are started in the local church. They refuse to give more to send missionaries around the world. You say, preacher, can you prove this? Think I can. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Let me show you something here. This is in relation to generosity. In relation to giving. Look what he says. Will a man rob God? Verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, listen now, in tithes and offerings. Did you see that? He said, you've robbed me not just in tithes, but also in a what? In an offering. Which means something over and above the tithe. He said, you've robbed me in both. Now look at verse 9. He said, you are cursed with a curse. Let me stop. Does that mean across the board God says you're cursed with a curse? Could it be that your account's cursed? Your assets are cursed? Amen. You see, the thing about it is, if you think that you're going to do more with what you have than what God can do with it, you're sadly mistaken. Because he said, if you're not generous, he said, I will curse it. That means, listen folks, I'm not against saving. I'm not against having life insurance. I'm not against any of that. But what I'm saying is, if we're hoarding to keep for ourselves instead of sending Bibles around the world, let me tell you something. He's going to curse your finances. He'll shut them down. If you don't believe that, I'll give you a few people you can go talk to. He'll shut them down. Go to Luke chapter 11. Well, I tell you what, hold your place. I'm going to show you this. Skip down to verse number 11. Now God says, now if you'll bring all the tithes into the storehouse and you'll give and you will be generous to the work of God. Look at verse number 11. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. Stop. Who's the devourer? You know what he said? He said, I'll stop him from binding the funds from flowing through you to the ministries, to the reaching of the propagation of the gospel, to the sending of the word of God. He said, I will bind him. Listen now, for your sakes. He said, for your sakes. Look at it. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. You want your assets to produce? Say, yes, I want my 401k to produce. I want my RIRA to produce. I want my investment. Okay, then you know what? You better give God what he tells you to give. Because he said, if you will, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground. He said, I'll protect your assets. I'll protect your home. I'll protect your investments. Oh, listen, maybe that he might protect your family. Amen. You see, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He said, I'll not destroy the fruits of your ground. But he said, I will bind him off of all your other assets. Listen, this has nothing to do with the actual subject of generosity. But listen, folks, we need to understand that our adversary is in the binding business. And listen, not only can he bind your service, he can bind your funds up. He can tie them up in so many, like what? Let me show you one of the most popular ways that he binds your funds. See it right there? He'll tie your funds up in credit card bills so that when, listen, the evangelist comes through, a missionary comes through, and you sit there and you think, boy, I sure wish I had something to give. Well, you would if you'd pay your credit cards off. Amen! Isn't this fun? And yet God said the well done's connected with generosity. How can we be overly generous if all we do is we spend all of our time paying creditors? Listen to me, folks, and you listen to your preacher well. He will bind your funds up because he don't want these Bibles shipped. So you know what he'll do? He'll bind them up, Brother Knight, so that people will not be able to send them because it's the Word of God. You know what we've got to do? We've got to free ourselves from that. We've got to loose ourselves from that. Now, Church, real quick, I want you to jot some things down, if you would, please. You know, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. I want to show you something real quick. I'm going to give you three quick things. I'm going to be done. Let Brother Knight come up just a minute and present the Beams ministry to us. Tell you why all these Bibles are here. Luke chapter 6. Look in verse 36. Let me lead into this. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now listen, folks, I don't have time to go back and read the whole chapter. But it talks about being merciful to men, both lost and saved men. But listen, he says, be merciful, or be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now listen, we're still in context. Judge ye not, or judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now listen, still in context, are we? Give and it. You see that word it right there? Circle. Circle the it right there. Because, listen, I challenged my Sunday school class this morning. It'll do you great if you just took the word it and study. It's going to take you a while. But study all the its in the Bible. This is one of them right here. He says, give and it shall. You say, well, what's the it? Listen, Jesus hadn't changed context yet, right? He's still in context with what he started. You say, what is it? Go back to verse 36. He says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is what? He said, give and it, mercy will be given to you. He said, be generous, and you know what? God will be generous to you. Be merciful over missionaries who need these Bibles and people who need the gospel. Be merciful, and He'll be merciful to you. Give, and it shall be given. Listen to this. I like this. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into you. What are they going to give you? They're going to give you mercy. That's what they're going to do. You see, God uses people to return to you. He said, shall men give into your bosom, for the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, jot these three things down right quick, and we'll be done. First of all, church, we're to be a conduit of God's generosity to one another. We are to be a conduit of God's generosity to one another. You're close by, turn to Matthew 22. Go to Matthew 22, verse 36. A question is asked, Master, what is the greatest command in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love. Stop. What did we say motivates, what did we say activates generosity? Isn't that amazing? He said, love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and, I got this circle, great commandment. Remember we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that if we don't have this particular item, that we're what? Nothing. So Jesus reemphasizes and says, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt. Does your Bible say love? Oh, wait a minute, help me out. What activates generosity? Come on, help me out. Now, what activates it? Love does. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. And so he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we are to be a conduit of God's generosity to one another. Now, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 and 10, you'll go there. You don't have to turn there. You can do this in your own study. But go check me out. The Scripture talks about there in Galatians chapter 6 that we, as we have opportunity, we are to be generous. We are to be giving to people. Listen, he says, and especially to those of the household of faith. You know who that would be? That would be us. We're to be a conduit of generosity to each other. That's the reason we need to be conscious of the needs that are going around. We need to be conscious of people in church that are going through a struggle and be generous to them. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Remember the house of Stephanas? This is amazing, because here's what it says about the house of Stephanas. Paul said, man, I like these people. Every time I went to Corinth, I loved to spend time with these people. Here's what he said. He said, because they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. They're addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, folks, I don't know about you. You know what Trinity Baptist needs to be? We need to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Wait a minute, stop. You say, well, what about the lost? Hey, we're supposed to be doing that while we're ministering each other as well. We're to be ministering to the lost and to one another. You see, we're to be a conduit of God's generosity one to another. Let me move on. Number two. My generosity activates God's generosity toward me. My generosity activates God's generosity toward me. Turn, if you would, 2 Corinthians 9. That's one of the verses we read just a moment ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6. Paul says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I don't know about you, sounds to me like that my generosity activates God's generosity toward me. Here's what you need to understand. The level of return depends on our level of giving. The level of return depends on our level of giving. You know what? If I want to reap a lot of mercy, then I'm to give what? A lot of mercy. If I want to reap a lot of generosity, I want to give a lot of generosity. Now, I don't know about you folks, but you know what? I'd like to store up in my bank account a whole lot of generosity. Listen, I'd rather have the mercy of God and the generosity of God than I would money. Because listen, you can't calculate God's generosity in dollars and cents. It has to be calculated in multiple different ways. You see, God's generosity to us can be deposited, listen now, in the accounts of others on your behalf. You say, really? Yeah. Do you know I do it almost every week? I got a son that's in college. You know what I do? He's got a bank account. And you know what I do almost every week? Brother Danny, on his behalf, I go deposit on his behalf. Now, the thing about it is, you say, well, what did he do to deserve it? Well, he got born in my family. That's what he did. You say, well, that qualifies him for you to be generous? Yeah, sure does. He's qualified. And the thing about it is, I go and deposit in his account. And listen to me, you realize that your generosity and your level of giving may be what God uses to reach somebody in your family and in your life who needs to turn their life back to Christ. You see, our level of generosity depends, or on God's generosity, depends on our level of giving. And God's generosity to me can be deposited in the account of others on my behalf. Anybody in here got a loved one you'd like to see come back to Christ? I suggest that you not be stingy. Amen. I suggest that you not be stingy, because that's an avenue. Listen, go again. I check Dr. House out. Go check me out. Not almost. Every time, the well done's always connected with generosity. Always connected with some form of giving. Always! Now, let me give you number three. My generosity will be on the level of my love for God. My generosity will be on my level of my love for God. You know, I found out little faith, little love equals little generosity. But I found out that great faith and great love equals great generosity. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it one more time, be done.
your love for your family, your love for all earthly relationships, listen, will be in direct proportion to your love for Jesus Christ. If your love for Jesus Christ is weak, if your love for Jesus Christ has waned, you know what? It's going to affect every relationship you have on this earth. You see, there's only one thing I can find in the Bible that God wants you to be liberal on. That's generosity. He wants us to be a generous people. Because, folks, we're to be a conduit. As God provides for us, you know what we're to be? We're to be providing for others. And as He gives, we're to be giving to others. That's the way it works. We are not to be, listen, we are not to be hoarders of God's goodness on our life. Because if God sees that I'm hoarding His goodness, you know what He's going to do? He's going to shut it down. And then what happens is, then there will be no more of generosity coming in your favor. Then God starts taking in your life. Don't ever get to that place. The character trait of generosity. When God wants us to be liberal. You know what, church? I can say this and I'm done. Our church has always been a very generous church. Our people, I've been a member of this church 28 years. I cannot ever remember a time where the spirit of Trinity Baptist Church has not always been generous. It's always been that way ever since I've been here. And you say, well, preacher, why aren't we talking about generosity if we're all so generous? Because some of you, your funds are bound by the devourer. You need to get out from underneath that so that you can be more generous to the things of God. So that when the opportunity arises, you know what you can do? You can be a generous believer and do what God lays on your heart to do. I want you to bow your heads tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved. I'm a born-again believer. All right?